This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yeah, baby, here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Woolchuck and Schiafalo will bring TD Tuesday to your ears here coming up in about 20 minutes. But joining us now from DraftKings, it's our friend Mike Golic Jr. here on your home of the Cowboys. How you doing, sir?
Doing well. How you doing?
Doing wonderful. You know, trying to figure out how good the Cowboys are with back-to-back wins. Of course, it's been the Giants and Steelers. Would you buy into it a little bit that progress is happening, or is this just a quality of opponent situation?
You know what? I go back and forth on it because you're right. Quality opponent. Listen, certainly the Steelers defense and going up against the wrecking ball that is TJ Watt and surviving and living to tell the tale. That's something anyone should be proud of. And I think the way the Cowboys did it to me was indicative of some progress, right? You've got injuries to two of your most important players. Defensively that you overcame, offensively your offensive line was compromised in a game against said TJ Watt. You were able to overcome that and make the plays necessary. It's still a team that talent-wise feels like it has a ceiling, but I do think they deserve credit for the way they went out there and battled and the way that Dak Prescott has found a way to overcome some mistakes of his own to still lead for a winning effort with this team.
As an old lineman yourself, Mike, where do you come out on if you're trying to get a running game going? How much can a running back, you know, make it happen for you? And how much do you just need a quality offensive line open in holes for him?
Yeah, I think it can go both ways because, like, a quality running back in terms of how they set up blocks, the way that they draw defenders' eyes in can help make life easier for you. I always call it, like, you can watch a running back put a defender on an offensive lineman. It's part of understanding the design of each play. Hey, this is where the running back's aiming point is on a given play, and how he can get a defender to commit up into the line of scrimmage can sometimes make it easier for me to get where I'm going. If he goes up inside on a play that's eventually designed to go outside, well, now all of a sudden the linebacker that I would have to have to if I'm an offensive lineman becomes a little bit easier. He's coming downhill, and so a good running back can absolutely help that stuff. A good scheme where, hey, if you've got guys motioning across like we see in so many offenses in the NFL, if we've got, you know, tight ends in certain spots, the way that we decide to go and orient the formations, all that can help. But at the end of the day, you're in the people moving business. And one of the biggest and most important factors in the people moving business is continuity and communication. And that was the thing that I think if you're the Cowboys and your fan base, you can be as encouraged by as anything is you had a couple of guys in different spots because of the injury at left tackle to Tyler Guyton. And you were still able to go out there and communicate your way through things. Zach Martin goes down for a series or so, and you're able to communicate your way through things, and you get a decent day out of your running back room. And so all of those things, I think, are positive signs, even amidst a season where we know the Cowboys are heavily scrutinized in this area.
You talk about moving people there. We see Robert Saleh getting moved out of New York today. He's being escorted out by security. How do you imagine that goes down? Is that a guy on his right, a guy on his left? Do they have him by the arm? Do they Uncle Phil him out of the facility? Being escorted out seems like something that doesn't usually happen.
I got to imagine it's one of those situations where it's a guy on the right or left, and then one of them maybe went for a grab, and Robert Saleh said, I can do it myself, and walked out of there with strides of pride in that building. In one of the most bizarre situations of all time. You know what? I'm so mad at myself for ever believing that any amount of quarterback production or cachet at that position was going to help the Jets not be the Jets anymore. This organization just constantly failing to get out of its own way. And it starts, of course, with Woody Johnson, who made this decision today.
Amen. Jets are always going to jet. Now, Gojo, I got to go to Pittsburgh and enjoy the Cowboys game as a fan. This city was unbelievable. I mean, to me, that sports downtown, it's hard to beat. In your travels, do you have a favorite sports city that you've been to?
Sorry, you broke up for a second right as you asked the question.
Do you have a favorite sports city that you've been to?
Who, you know what? Pittsburgh is one I'm pretty partial to. I got to go to rookie training camp in 2013 in Pittsburgh, and so I lived out there during the offseason for a bit. And I do remember getting there during the NHL playoff and during the Stanley Cup playoffs in the spring, And when the Penguins got eliminated, you could hear a mouse fart in that town because everyone lives and dies so hard with it. Going across the bridge and seeing the views into PNC Park when the Pirates were playing was electric. But I got to say, one I've been to most recently in the pro ranks that I really appreciate is what Kansas City's done in creating an atmosphere around there that is collegiate in nature. Like, that stadium is a little bit on the older side, but seeing people camped out in cars, I was there for the opening night game this year against the Baltimore Ravens, and seeing people camped out on the highway for a mile with their grills out, waiting for the tailgate lots to open all day in the lead up to that night game for a team that's already accomplished as much as they have, is a really unique atmosphere, and it smells good, which is usually going to win me over.
Hey, Mike, the really wild college football season that we had last week is, are you thinking more of this, or was that just kind of, a once off for this season?
I think we're going to have to, kind of like in the NFL, the way that, you guys know, since 2011 when we started to change up a lot of the business of football in that CBA, we've seen in the preseason get these playing weird football at the beginning of years because that haven't yet had a chance to test out a lot of the new parts or figure out all the nooks and crannies of a team that, even with a lot of similar faces, is different every year. In college football, because you've got rampant free agency every year instead of just every few years,
right,
now you're getting wholesale roster turnover that all these teams don't have any preseason games to work with. And as a result, I think you're getting teams at the Power Four level now going out and spending and trying to get quality players in there, but then having to spend the beginning of the season tinkering. And while you've got that, you've got teams at the lower levels of the sport that don't have the luxury of bringing in a whole bunch of new talent every year. And while they might lose one or two guys, they're far more likely to have rosters intact that can go out and use that continuity to their benefit early in the year and sneak up on some of these more talented teams, maybe more frequently than we've seen in the past because of it.
Mike Golic Jr. here with you. What's your outlook on Bama like for the next 2 to 4 years?
I think Bama has shown it's still capable of winning games at a really high level. I mean, they own probably the best win and the worst loss in the span of 2 weeks in the sport this year. I think ultimately I take a long view approach. Kalen DeBoer knows how to coach. Now, it's different than the way Nick did it, and that's tough to sell to the locals, especially when you abandon some of the trust by losing to a team like Vanderbilt early on. That's a no-no. Trust is gained in drops and lost in buckets, and unfortunately, Kalen kicked over the bucket. That being said, I still think they're a program that, because of the eyes, the resources, all the money coming in there, are going to have every chance and opportunity to continue the talent pipeline that Nick has made there. I mean, Jalen Milroe is still going to be a case study for, hey, if you're a quarterback and you want to come and get developed by a guy like Kalen DeBoer, be a potential Heisman Trophy winner, be a potential top draft pick, that's enticing to a lot of guys, even in this day and age where, yeah, they've got the money too, but having the pro prospects that go along with a place like Bama still helps a lot. So I think they're going to continue to be one of the top programs in the sport, but that stranglehold on the number one spot, that was gone for the last few years of Nick Saban's tenure, and so it's certainly gone now that Kalen DeBoer's in town, and they're figuring out how to do things a bit of a different way in Tuscaloosa.
What do you think about this Texas-Oklahoma matchup? Where does that rank for you in terms of college football rivalries, and can we get you here to the State Fair? I want to see you go ahead and do food reviews on all these delicious foods we've got.
Man, I tell you what, I was fortunate enough to get down to the State Fair one time when I was back at ESPN when we were doing Golic and Wingo and went down there to do some shows. And it is an experience I cherish so much. I would love nothing more than to get back down there very, very soon. Deep frying everything is my love language. When I had deep fried cola down there, I knew that I had come home to a place that I had never actually lived. So it's high up on the rivalry because you have all the pageantry. That's what college football is all about, to have that kind of attachment to the programs that has now followed them from one conference to another. And in a world where college football has had so much change, this feels like a great anchor point for the sport. So I'm very excited for this one. I have worries about Oklahoma's ability to keep up with a team in Texas that I think seems like it's primed to get Quinn Ewers back. And for all the hype about Arch Manning and what he's been able to do at the helm of that team, it's still a big difference in Quinn Ewers, the benefit of the experience that he's gained there in the last couple of years. And I think with him at the helm, they're the unquestioned best team in college football right now.
What's the experience like as a player at that age getting set for one of these big rivalries like for you, Michigan or USC or something? How's that game day experience different?
I think it's really the week lead up that feels a lot different. Like, we all like to say, hey, we go out there and prepare the same for everybody, especially with the 18 to 22-year-olds. I've been a part of a lot of weeks where, hey, we lost games to teams we shouldn't have because it's a natural belief to kind of relax when you see a helmet sticker that's not quite the same cachet as some of the ones you mentioned. So Rivalry Week, it's late nights there with your whole unit watching tape, trying to find any advantage that you can possibly get. And when you get to that atmosphere, you know, I always enjoyed the coaches that I had that said, hey, you work the entire year for these few fall Saturdays, but especially for these ones. Take in the atmosphere. Embrace that. If you're on the road in a hostile environment, embrace that. Hey, I always liked that feeling like you were Leonidas in the 300 in the middle of this place that hated you and wanted to see you fail, getting the chance to go out there and shut them up. And so I relished those moments to go in and silence an opposing crowd, to hear the roar of a stadium collapse under the weight of what we're doing on the field. There's nothing like it. I'll spend the rest of my life chasing the kind of high that you get, you know, like we did in 2012, going on the road down in Norma and beating a Bob Stoops-led team that didn't do much losing at home pretty emphatically in front of a sold-out stadium that had College Game Day in town. There's not much like it.
What are you looking at here? Ohio State and Oregon, obviously now a Big Ten matchup. It's in Oregon, 2-3. How do you see it?
Man, let me tell you what. First off, you talk about great environments in college football. Autzen is one of those places. If you got a chance to get a game, the Pacific Northwest is beautiful during the fall, and those fans get that place rocking. So Ohio State, they're going to feel it. Remember, they've been looking great through the early portion of the season. They have not faced a team as talented or an environment as hostile as the one they're getting ready to walk into this weekend. That being said, the biggest difference between the way I saw this matchup going before the season, I picked Oregon to win the Big Ten before the season. I think they'd both make the playoff, but I thought Oregon, in the way they had built up along the trenches for the last few years, from Mario Cristobal through now Dan Lanning, were going to be in a better position at that spot to go along with a quarterback who I thought in Dylan Gabriel, a little more talented, a little more seasoned than Will Howard already. The thing I didn't account for was Ohio State's offensive line with Chip Kelly there pulling the strings in the run game. Finally looks like the groups that used to be there, at least in the early going, that were there under Urban Meyer, where Ohio State moved people for a living back then. That was how they got to the promised land. And during this most recent era of the team, they had kind of gotten away from that. They had gotten, I won't say soft in the middle because that's a trigger word for a lot of people, but the foundation of that team had been compromised a bit on the offensive line, and they're back to doing business up front there to go along with all those great skill guys. So I think Ohio State goes in on the road and gets it done and gets one of the marquee wins of the early season.
Mike Golic Jr., DraftKings, thank you so much for your time, sir, and enjoy the games, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
There he goes. And I appreciate him. It's always good to catch up with him. We usually see him at the Super Bowl, and if you check out DraftKings, it's not just a daily fantasy outlet. They have their own talk network and everything going on. Okay, yes, a lot going on here in the world of sports today. The big story was the Jets moving on from Robert Saleh and all of the angles inside of that story. How much, you know, does Aaron Rodgers have to do with it? Again, Woody Johnson, the Jets owner, saying today that decision was mine and mine alone. The Patriots are going to start the rookie quarterback Drake May against Houston. And USC's Juju Watkins got a big old deal from Nike there, multi-million dollars there, which is just insanely great for her. And she's quite a talent, you know, but really not even that established on the national sports scene. To get that kind of a bag, I definitely think, you know, it's a testament not only to her talent, but how far the women's game has grown in a short period of time. Okay, how about we hit you with three things to know about Cowboys-Lions here before we get to this TD Tuesday shock-a-lock from the morning news. Dan Campbell making his return to town, played his college ball at A&M. He's down there in the from the Glen Rose area.
Yeah.
Did you work with Dan Campbell, Brian?
I never did work with Dan Campbell, no.
And the, of course, highly anticipated rematch from last year's game. I think that's a significant one. Not only are you facing the Detroit Lions and all their great skill players, the ascent of Jameson Williams, wide receiver, he is now their leading player. So you have him and Amon-Ra St. Brown and two incredible running backs and two incredible pass rushers. Yeah. You know, so this team is freaking loaded, and they're inspired. You know what it's like? You can't fabricate that kind of energy. Like maybe a Michael Jordan could by telling himself fairy tales about what the other guy said, and he worked himself into like this delusional place. But here with the Detroit Lions, I feel like that sort of emotional edge needing to prove themselves, this game is, you know, just way too big to hope for the opponent overlooking you.
Yeah,
you know, maybe next time.
That's the perfect recipe to be a talented team with a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah,
and now that's exactly what this football team is and all that stuff. And Laporta hasn't even been quite himself, but he's probably going to be a little bit more healed up because I know he'd been hobbling a little bit, but that's another dude who can really dominate your defense as well.
KNC Masterpiece is going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings on Friday in Louisville. That'll be your next chance to pick up the Whataburger G-Bag Nation flag. I love Coach Prime. He was asked if Travis Hunter is a better athlete than he was. He said, "It's not me against Travis. I've had my turn." I don't know how you could say anybody was a better football player than what Deion Sanders put out there. That was incredible. But like raw athleticism, Travis Hunter's got the size, the strength as well on top of it, right? Like a lot of sports jobs, I think Travis Hunter would just beast mode him.
From that era, you know, you had the Bo Jacksons and then the Herschel Walkers and people like that. Those were guys I was, you know, when I was in school, very familiar with because of, especially with the you know being in the Southeastern Conference, but what you saw at Florida State, yeah, you know, it some just rare athletic ability with those guys. Hunter's, I mean, I've just seen TV copy of
he
him.
He could be very special.
I'm interested to see his when you sit down and start studying all his tape and being able to run it back and see the route running ability, the separation, the hands obviously are big time. You know, tight window throws for that guy. He makes plays. Maybe he's a bad ball catcher too. There's a lot to like about his game, but it's going to be a really, really fascinating study where scouts view him. Are they going to view him as a receiver? Or are they going to view him as a corner?
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't paid as much attention to him as I did Deion's career, but like the returns, like Deion had a quickness and a suddenness and ability to change direction that
he changed games.
Well, the speed isn't the same.
Yeah. Was Deion as much of a full-time two-way player in college as Hunter is?
Not to that level.
Okay.
Not to that level.
He also played baseball at a big league level.
No, he did.
He's
played both in a day. He like played in a Falcons game and then go play in a night game
with the Braves.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're talking about the raw talent of it, it's an honor to be mentioned. But I think he took the pass on that because he didn't want to dunk all over it.
Yeah, you can't say like, "Yes, I'm better than my player."
Yeah, I'm better than everybody. You know,
like, let's see how Travis Hunter does in the NFL. Then we can like maybe have that conversation.
Deion used to call his punt returns.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out there and return it this time right here. And he does it.
Yeah, Deion was
crazy.
Who could do that?
Because he could get himself in these impossible positions in between defenders and somehow explode out the other side while pulling away from everybody after slowing down. You know, like Deion had a Barry Sanders component to his athleticism that I think is just so incredibly rare. Okay, thanks to Golic Jr. for joining us, gentlemen. TD Tuesday?
Let's do it, baby.
All right, that's next right here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Time for an audio celebration of the football weekend that was. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks at DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online at frankelfirm.com. Here they are, Wolchuk and Chiafalo with that TD Tuesday.
No, it's time to go to Bras.
No,
he's got that look in his eye.
Eric, what team in the NFL?
We're trying to get to motorboating, dude.
Are you going
to
do this to us right now? It's a freaking TD Tuesday.
We're
waiting
until 6:30
to
get it in.
What team runs the most hitch routes?
The Dallas Cowboys of Dallas.
Hey, Brian, ask me if I give an F.
Yeah, we talk about how many routes they run, the curls and the hitches.
Cowboys aren't number one.
They're number 10.
Steelers number one.
Giants number one.
Hey, Malik, just go turn around, man. We're going to throw it to you.
The 49ers are actually third.
Really?
Yeah, and the Seahawks are two.
Well, maybe that's the reason why the Niners are sucking so bad right now.
Separation.
They're taking a curls page out of the Cowboys playbook.
That is very surprising.
Kyle Shanahan's playing it on.
All right, let's fire it off. TD Tuesday, let's go.
Seriously.
Boom shakalak. Boom shakalak. Boom shakalak. TD Tuesday shakalak.
We we start TD Tuesday with a little fourth quarter Monday night football action. Arrowhead is where Xavier is always worthy for pay dirt.
Chiefs in a power pistol look here. They will shift to Kelsey. Kelsey's in a wildcat position. And to give it off to Worthy on the right side. Worthy sneaks into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City, on an RPO handoff from Travis Kelsey.
And it's plays like that that kept Taylor Swift from KMSing herself last night.
Oh.
Did you see that?
What's a KMS?
The old, it's the old kill yourself. She actually said that in the booth last night. Did you guys see that clip?
I didn't know.
This clip is insane, dude. It's like they cut from her right as she is saying myself as a part of a kill myself sentence. I'll kill myself. Like something bad was happening on the field. I'm not, dude, she's locked in. Credit to her.
She understands what it feels like to be.
How many times have you said that during Cowboys game, Walchuk?
She's been invested.
I mean, probably 15 times in Pittsburgh the other night.
Absolutely.
So I do appreciate that she's up against the glass there, and that, you know, she's not donging around in the back of the thing trying to figure out, hey, where's the celery sticks? What are we doing? Oh yeah, there's a game on. No, she's locked in, and I appreciate that.
It's a real girlfriend, you know.
She's fully bought in. She is a football fan,
ride or die for real.
Last year, I thought it might be BS a couple of times, but at some point, you know, it became clear. For some reason, she really likes this dude.
This is true of it. Really is. For some reason, she likes this dude. Well, Dub Airs, Caleb Williams is starting to come around. He just had his best game of the season, and he threw not one, not two, but yes, two TDs to DJ Moore.
Snap to Caleb Williams. Good protection. Lines it up for DJ Moore to the end zone. Perfect throw. Perfect catch. Touchdown, Bears. There you go. Deep strike and a 30-yard touchdown. 27-7, Bears.
The old DJ Moore revenge game.
Touchdown, Bears. The Bears Radio Network. Yeah, I love a good revenge game, man. We had quite a few. Darnold with the Jets. I mean, this was good.
Nice to see Caleb Williams spinning that thing, dude.
And he looked good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, okay, you know what? Maybe I will give Helmeck another shot.
Yeah, let's just kind of give these quarterbacks some time, maybe, before we just say they stink.
I mean, four games is quite the sample size, Wolchuk.
You're
Jeez,
right.
Dude.
It was the Panthers. He stinks, Wolchuk.
Yeah, he's ass,
maybe
man.
He does.
I was trying to let him have his moment.
Speaking of moments, let's get to Kyle Field, College Station, where it was all eyes for Broadus on just hate watching Eli Drinkwitz
and the Missouri
Tigers. And his pants went flying off after 75 yards for Le'Veon Moss.
It's a handoff up the middle in a big hole. 35, 40, makes a man miss. Le'Veon Moss, this just may be a race to the end zone. That is won by Le'Veon. 75 yards, touchdown, Aggies.
That was right about the time the Aggie police were escorting a drunken adult gentleman out to his sober wife, and we've all been concerned for his well-being ever since.
Yes, man. That could not have gone well.
I did get a beautiful sight. There was an absolutely overserved Cowboy fan in Emmitt Smith jersey that was being
not
carried.
You?
No, it was not me. But
he's
I,
lying. It was him.
You
was
painted a picture.
He was being carried between two Steeler fans to wherever their vehicle was, and it was a long walk, man. We were passing PNC Park. These two schmucks were having to drag their drunk friend. But hey, Cowboy fan, it was a victorious day in the burg. It was great.
You got to set up shop at that point. You're going to the nearest bar. We're definitely not carrying this son of a gun.
We're done.
Yeah.
We're done.
Get him an Uber.
It's over.
I'm the Aggie
Get him an Uber. Or just shove him in the car, get home safely.
Aggie guy is probably like, dude, just put me in the drunk tank. Don't release me to my sober wife.
Yes. No,
yeah. She's, just put me in the overnight.
But at least get her a couple of drinks first.
Yeah, dude, come on.
Don't
You're really throwing
sober.
Me to the wolves here.
Oh, shout out to the
Trust
A&M
me,
Radio
she tried
Network.
To warn me like 10 times before this happened.
Hey, yeah, this is not
she's
my
not
first
happy.
Strike, okay?
Why do you think I'm
This
drunk?
Is going to be a ha-ha, you crazy animal. This one time. No, this is unfortunately a habit for me.
Let's
Officer.
Get to the Ravens Radio Network. An incredible TD. One of the best TDs of the weekend.
Oh, my God.
Lamar
gosh.
Jackson, who like to Isaiah Likely.
Lamar in the shotgun. Lamar bobbles the snap. Has to pick it up off the turf. He's being chased. Corralled. Stiff arms a man. Sam Hubbard. And finally slings in the back of the end zone. Touchdown! Isaiah Likely. Oh, my! Unbelievable!
As impressive of a stiff arm, get off me, and then, I mean, totally under control, regathering himself, Lamar, and what a just a firework game that was between two quarterbacks that were dialed.
Level of difficulty compared to Romo over my head. I'm going to make a play out of this. Not quite as high, but equally as impressive.
Yeah,
the swagger that he pulls off that stiff arm with, and then settles back in. It's legendary.
Such an maybe one of my favorite stiff arms I've ever seen.
It was awesome.
It wasn't like a Derrick Henry violent, but it was just, as you said, the swaggerific.
Yeah, the propel. It was awesome.
It really was. Thank you to the Baltimore Ravens Radio Network. Let's get to the Cincinnati side of things. They thought they had him, man. It was Joe Burrow, and he was spinning it to his guy, Ja'Marr Chase.
Joe, who's thrown four touchdown passes to tie his career high, throws a short pass to Chase. Five. Nice blocking on the edge.
Baby.
Ja'Marr to the 40, spinning to the 50. It's a foot race. Ja'Marr to the 30, the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown! 70 yards. Burrow to Chase. Ja'Marr does it again.
That was probably my favorite call of DD Tuesday right there.
That's what I want Mike to do during the Rangers games next year. It's year two. You know, you followed all the rules as a rookie. Now it's time to throw a party
cheerlead
up there.
Yeah, Wyatt. Run.
That's Dave Lapham, right?
Dave Lapham, yep.
Yeah.
Dave Lapham.
Shout out to the Bengals.
He does no color commentary at all. He just cheers the whole time, yeah.
It's amazing. All right, let's go to the ponies of SMU, the SMU Radio Network. L.J. Johnson in a big-time dub for the Mustangs.
Jennings gives L.J. Johnson, breaks through, touchdown SMU.
A good rhyme right there,
man.
I mean, they cut the play by their color guy
Rich
off
Phillips?
Short there.
Yeah,
it's Rich Phillips.
Yeah,
salute.
I'll tell you what, give me the ponies over the Hurricanes in the ACC championship game.
Ooh,
first round bye in the college football playoff. SMU
are
here
pulling out
business.
Victories here by the hair on their chinny chin chin the last 2 weeks. I like your call here with SMU.
Yeah, I could see it, man. I really could. The same way we saw Tank Bigsby. Stumbling, bumbling, rumbling.
Oh,
65 yards on the Jaguars radio network.
Bigsby, the running back. They toss it to the left to Tank. He cuts it back to the middle of the field. That's good running. Tank Bigsby into the open field. 45, 40, 35, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Tank Bigsby has exploded for another score.
This guy's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
He had some angry runs, man.
Somewhere Travis Etienne fantasy owners are like, what the hell? What is Bigsby doing here?
Yeah,
he was awesome.
I'll trade for Bigsby before I trade for Etienne.
I'll take either of them, right now, to be honest.
I think the Boise State running back, Ashton Gentry, I think he's inspiring guys. Like, we're seeing David Montgomery run through players and defenses in a way that we're not used to really seeing. I think he's got these professionals kind of going, okay, I see.
Turn it up a notch.
Hold my beer a little bit.
Yeah, now everyone's trying to go full on Derrick Henry. All right, let's get to Vandy. Oh, what a week it was.
Anchor down.
Wow. What a week it was for the Vanderbilt Radio Network. I thought maybe we'd get a little bit more excitement, but they were probably so stunned at what they were watching as they upset Alabama. Shout out to Diego Pavia.
Shotgun formation for Pavia. Working toward the right. There's the snap. It's Pavia. He rolls toward the right. He throws. It is caught by Cameron Johnson. Touchdown. Vanderbilt. A 6-yard strike. Pavia to Johnson. The Doors build the lead. Late against the Crimson Tide.
I still can't believe that this happened.
I can't either. I love what they did with the...
And Sean got to be there.
Yeah.
I actually saw Sean at the airport.
Yep.
We were on the same flight to Nashville because I connected in Nashville, then flew to Pittsburgh. Ironic.
How many vodkas did he have on that flight?
I don't think he did. Well, that's... I don't know.
He was sitting in first class, wasn't he?
Yeah, first class on Southwest.
Well, what a legendary game to be at for him. And for those Vandy kids, probably the night of their lives after that, where they're storming down Broadway,
so cool.
Carrying the field goal posts.
Okay, did you see they threw him into the Cumberland River?
Yes.
2 miles away.
It's nuts.
The fire department got the goal post back out.
Yeah.
They fished the goal post out of the river.
Those are costly.
Are they going to auction it off?
They're going to cut them up and sell them.
There.
Yeah.
They're going to cut it up and sell
cut
it.
Cut up and sell them.
Yeah, that's a collector's
forever
item.
It's the
biggest
win in the program's history.
Yeah.
Put that in a Vandy fans man cave, no doubt. All right, let's go to Denver. Mile High in the throwback Orange Crush uniforms. Patrick Surtain, 101 yards. Pick 6 with the raccoons in the stands.
Minshew under center. Minshew with a play fake, rolling to his left. Now floats one too high. It's going to be intercepted at the goal line. Down the west sideline, intercepted. This is past Surtain. Sertan's going to house call it. 25-20, 15-10, 5, touchdown.
Man,
it's
an amazing play.
He is so locked down.
Football. He's incredible.
Brock Bowers just had his way with the Broncos defense, except for the two instances in which Pat Surtain was guarding him, and those resulted in two interceptions, one of which you just heard went for pay dirt, 101 yards.
Amazing.
So those uniforms have to stick around.
I would.
What are we doing?
I really hope that they keep those and wear them every single week from now on. All right, let's get to the Hogs. The Arkansas Radio Network, another big upset. They took down the Volunteers of Tennessee. Malachi Singleton, take it away for the TD.
First down at the 11. They bring a man in motion. They give it to Singleton on the option right side. Touchdown, Arkansas! Malachi Singleton from 11 yards out. They faked it to Russell, and Singleton runs it in.
Yeah, you could tell there was a fake. The play-by-play guy's like, I'm not sure who the hell has this ball. Singleton's got it.
Thank you to the Woo Pig Radio Network for that one. That was a ridiculous game.
That's Tennessee, kind of Michael K. A Tennessee, little bit. They didn't know who had the ball or anything or had the hit.
Didn't really seem to care. Arkansas player gives the ball to another Arkansas player, and the Arkansas player scores a touchdown for Arkansas.
Touchdown, Arkansas.
Woo, Pig, Suey.
The fact that Tennessee quarterback is running out of bounds on fourth down as time expires in the game, and just I don't know.
It was a freshman moment.
But he's a redshirt. You know what I'm saying? Let's act like you've been there before. You stood on the sidelines all year.
It's all about the reps. I need the playing time.
Unbelievable. Let's go to London. The Minnesota Vikings. This has to be a fullback. Max Brosner, 1 huge yard for touchdowns.
They're going to go for a touchdown here. They quickly huddle it up with everybody behind Brosmer again. They snap it. They sneak it. He is in. Well, maybe not. No signal. The crowd goes nuts. I thought he made it from up here. They're discussing it. No official ruling yet. They continue to look at it.
Wow.
How surprised are you that they did not kick a field goal?
I am surprised.
After review, it is a touchdown.
Oh, they caught it. Touchdown, Minnesota. Golden Gophers. And they take the lead with 56 seconds to play.
Was that Minnesota Golden Gopher? I thought that were Viking highlights in London.
No.
They
were so ready to just MF the coach. Like, oh my God, how shocked that they didn't kick the field goal. Touchdown! Let's go!
I like the way
that
he
was
did
the Golden
that.
Gophers, right?
That was they were absolutely not in London, and yeah. That was definitely not the Vikings fullback. I was just making assumptions there.
Yeah,
I saw MIN for Minnesota.
That was the Gophers.
I thought it was the Vikings.
USC over the weekend, but hey,
it's crazy that you have such a like hardcore, badass, violent mascot professionally with the Vikings, and then you have the Gophers for your college team.
Hey, the Gopher might surprise. The dichotomy like the raccoon there. Does.
I don't know. I think the Vikings tearing that gopher up bare hands.
Yeah, probably eating the gopher. All right, let's get to some special teams TDs. That's quite a unique set right there.
Isn't that special? Wow, look at those things.
I knew I was bleeped. It was the Giants blocking a field goal and scoring.
Myers, in his 10th year out of Marist, is set. Snap is good. Kick on its way. And it's blocked by the Giants. They got pressure up the middle, and they scoop it up. Running down the left side is Houston. He's to the 5, and he's in for the score. Ooh. And a touchdown. Bryce Ford Wheaton is the one that picked it up.
He jumped right over the center there and blocked it. That is such a great play.
Bryce Ford Wheaton off the bounce returns it for a score.
It was such a great play. Thanks a lot, Giants.
It was, man.
Giants Radio Network getting it
Bob
done.
Bob Papa.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Bob Papa. I'll tell you what. He might be my favorite play-by-play guy when we go behind enemy lines. He's just a stand-up dude. He's not trying to mess with you.
Hey, the Giants really suck on defense.
Classy
right
dude.
Now.
doesn't want to try and be better than you. You know, he's not trying to poke and prod at everything, make you seem like an idiot. He's just a classic sweet gentleman. It's just like some of these play-by-play guys can be a little bit like I know it all. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, they definitely can be.
Let's go ahead.
The other Papa with the 49ers we're about to get in a couple weeks.
Yeah, Niners Papa.
There is no Greg bigger Papa. Homer than him and then Gene with the Bucks. Those are the two homer play-by-play guys if I've ever heard them.
Well, we had a Cowboy homer planting the flag at what should still be Heinz Field amidst torrential downpours on now what was Monday morning, and his entire life was riding on this moment in the balance. Zach Wolchuk watching Dak Prescott to a sprained nut having Jalen Tolbert.
Let's go!
Fourth and goal. Prescott in the gun. Snap is back. He has some time. He throws it in the end zone. It's a touchdown to Jalen Tolbert on the left side of the end zone, crossing in front of Deshaun Elliott.
Mm-mm-mm.
And there it is.
What a
victory.
Glorious moment that was.
Incredible pass.
Victory Monday with Wolchuk on hand. The Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, yes, sending you into your Victory Monday pure euphoria.
Luckily, Brian wasn't there to make you leave like 2 minutes earlier.
We gotta
come on,
run.
Man. I know we've waited all
man, we
night
catch
for this.
We gotta catch the bus.
There's raining. No way they're winning.
It's raining, Zach. Come on.
We'll crosstalk with the Fan After Dark with Fred and CA next. Here is the G-Bag Nation and the Fan. Rally Pumpkins getting it done. The Mets lead the Phillies. It is a 6-2 in the bottom of the eighth inning as the baseball playoffs continue. We're set now for the Fan After Dark with CA and Fred being tonight's configuration, gentlemen. Good evening to you. How the heck are you?
Good. Did you guys hear about those Sunday Night Football ratings?
No, what happened?
Listen to this. This game, of course, started really late, right? 90 minutes late because of the lightning and rain and whatnot.
Yeah, me and Eric knew that, yeah.
Yeah, Willie Bully was there. Yeah,
Willie Bully was there.
What time did you guys wrap it? 1:30 in the morning or something?
1:30.
God. So the game started late, and, you know, if it's going to start late, can't have all the ratings. You throw in the fact that it was a low scoring game. It was 7-6 going into the fourth quarter. So it was a bunch of field goals, low scoring game. What kind of ratings could it have? You guys won't believe this. Want to guess?
28 million.
What's your guess?
Jeez.
I'm going to say 24 million.
26.
25.
I was just going to go with 20.
It was 20.3, mm-hmm, and they were really, really happy with that because it was such a late
a big number.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it was boring. So, for the sixth consecutive week, they have had a 20 million viewers share, or 20 million viewers watching a Sunday Night Football game to start the season.
I mean, it was perfect for me because you got to get everything out of the way, and then the game starts.
Yeah.
You know, there's no kids interrupting.
Mm-hmm, they're asleep.
None of that. What's coming up on the show tonight, gentlemen?
Big show. I mean, look, we'll talk a little Cowboys. I've got a theory on this Dallas Cowboy team and a suggestion for our boy Mike McCarthy. Stay tuned for that. You know, I mean, I don't know if he's listening, but we'll throw it out there to him anyway.
Oh, he is.
I know he is.
Fire
I know
him.
He is.
He watches all the plays and he listens to all the shows.
I mean, why wouldn't he? John Machota, talking all things. You guys know John. He's going to join us. David Behrman from Pro Football Network, chief content officer. He spent time with the Florida Marlins as well as ESPN. He's going to talk all things NFL. And then my boy Ben Troop, former NFL tight end. You already know. Former Florida Gator.
Gator.
84 Reasons podcast, Don't Have Weddings in the Fall podcast. And if you guys thought I talked fast, Ben Troop is about twice that speed. So,
wow. Greatness. I swear. I love listening to him. He is.
How was the Mavs last night, CA?
Man, that crowd was going hype for a preseason game. By the way,
we're ready.
Shout out to John Morant. John Morant, he actually played a lot.
He did.
He played a lot in that game.
Shot the lights
got off
out.
A lot of shots.
That was Ja and his weapon on
he
Instagram.
He hurt his ankle too, didn't he?
He did hurt his ankle, but he came back in the game, so it wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. And his dad was there. His dad looks just like Usher. His name is T. Morant.
I thought he was Usher a couple of times.
Exactly, and they've met. And so I was talking to him about Usher being in town over the weekend. And he said, yeah, that's my little brother. I said, yeah.
Sorry about that Diddy stuff.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, shout out to Usher for going to the State Fair, Texas. He went to State Fair, Texas, on Saturday morning. And also, Usher, for those who don't know, was born at Parkland Hospital, and he shouted out Dallas and glad to be back home.
Very nice.
But it was a great game last night, a fun game.
Well, thanks, gentlemen. Have a fun show.
Thank you, sir.
Go Mavs. Go Stars as well. Thanks to Lucius Alexander over there in the Pimp Cup Master Control 75 and Fitzhugh, Wolchuk and Chiafalo and Broadus, and I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation. At ease.